Webinar. I, along with Jenny Antelik, are your professional development chairs for ICF Minnesota, and our webinar today is The Target Approach, Demystifying the ICF Core Competencies, and it's presented by Carly Anderson, who is an MCC, and Karen Boskemper, who is a PCC. A few announcements to get us started. Our next in-person meeting is Tuesday, September 23rd at the Marsh, with our annual Guest and Award Celebration and a keynote delivered by Kate Larson. And you may register for this opportunity at www.icfminnesota.org. We also have two special events coming up in November and December where we could use a little help. So on Tuesday, November 18th, is our in-person meeting, which is a focus on creating your brand. We have a special guest speaker, but we are also looking for help to organize a brand your business event that precedes that speaker's talk. And then on December 11th, we will forego our monthly webinar and have our coaches night out. So we're looking for help to organize a fun night out. We have a few ideas, but we'd like to have others help us with making that evening as memorable and fun as we can make it. So if you'd like to help, please join Jenny Antelik and myself in making this come to pass. And you can send us an email at profdev@icfminnesota.org in order to let us know you would like to do that. A few housekeeping items. We like to keep the lines clear. This is fairly new technology we're using with GoToWebinar, so you will be muted to avoid feedback noise and then unmuted as needed to interact during the presentation. If you have a question or experience difficulties, please raise your hand or use the chat box. And I, along with Karen, a co-presenter, will be monitoring that throughout the meeting. I believe Jenny is with us too. And she's for those joining the meeting by phone, you can use star 6 to mute and unmute your line. And if you're joining by computer and using your phone for audio, please mute the speaker on your computer to avoid the feedback noise. Our program is recorded for replay today and available in the member section on the ICF Minnesota website. There's also a handout available for today. You received a couple of confirmations and reminders with the link to grab that handout. And for those of you who wish to receive CCUs for this call, you will need to remember the word given to you at the beginning of the presentation and then also the word provided at the end of the presentation. So the opening word for today's CCU, demystified. Again, that word is demystified. At the conclusion of Carly and Karen's presentation, I will now share the closing word and let you know how to get your CCUs. With that, I would like to go ahead and introduce Carly Anderson and Karen Boskemper and let them get started on their presentation today.
So thank you. This is Karen Boskemper. Thank you, Robin. And I just want to check, we have quite a lot of noise and disturbance on the line. Do you have everybody muted?
I'm going to do that right now. Right. Thank you. Just a moment. Just take me a second to mute all. Here. Oops, that won't work. We got to unmute you and unmute you. And it's the attendees I need to mute. Okay. So now we should be able to see you both. And if share your screen.
Can't see the screen?
I
have shared it. You're not seeing it now?
Let me, no, it was. Hang on just a moment, and I will see if I can fix this. The poll closed. Okay.
It's grayed out on my screen. I can't click on it.
I just closed the poll, so now you should be able to. There we go. All right.
Okay, good.
Great, and I can see it too. Wonderful. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for the opportunity today to present to you. My name is Karen Boskemper, and I am a professional certified coach and an ICF assessor. And together with Carly Anderson, I co-lead the mentor coaching group, where we mentor coaches who are looking to achieve their ICF credential. I also, besides that, work as an executive coach and a leadership development consultant, and I work both in the global corporate arena and also within the government sector here in the United States. So as you can tell probably by now, I'm not from Texas. I'm originally from England, and I grew up in Germany and South Africa. I moved to the United States in 1992, and I currently live just outside of Washington, D.C. And I will be your co-leader in the session today, supporting my business partner, Carly, really to bring you this fantastic model that focuses on taking the linear listed ICF core competencies and applying them in a way that is more, much more intuitive, and really how the core competencies are actually expressed in real life. So this model has really continues even for me in my learning journey to be an instrumental tool and a model for me as I continue to become a master coach, which is my goal, to become an MCC. And I think, and I'm really excited actually that Carly has is going to be presenting this for you today. But let me, that's a good segue for me to introduce Carly to you. Carly is the founder of the Mentor Coaching Group and has been a coach since 1998. She is originally from Australia and has been living in the United States since 2001. So when we speak, we often sound similar. So we are actually going to be very specific about telling you when we're speaking so that you know whether it's Karen or Carly, since our names are quite close too. So Carly does a lot of global coaching and global mentoring, and she's been a master certified coach since 2004 and a mentor coach since 2005 for the ICF credential applicants who are going for the MCC, PCC, and ACC. She is probably one of the most active ICF assessors on the team, and has just recently and is in the process of being trained in the latest markers. She listens to hundreds of calls, of coaching calls every year, and really has developed her expertise around credentialing and the core competencies for many years. She's very passionate about raising the professionalism of coaching through core competency development. She also delivers coach training at CoachU and Corporate CoachU, and has been doing that since 1999. So with that, I'd like to introduce, well, that's the introduction to Carly, and Carly, I'd like to pass over to you at this point.
Yes, thank you, Karen. First of all, it's such a pleasure and a joy to have a business partner. For so many years, I had one, and then for many, many years, I didn't, and Karen and I have been working together for a couple of years now, and we like to do this together because she has a different perspective and on the target approach and the value of that versus what I do. So even though we have a short period of time together today, our intention is to give you the most value in terms of what would help you to become a more confident coach, using the core competencies as a guide to your coaching skills becoming even better. To me, it's all about how you serve your client, and this is just a vehicle for doing that. But given that there are credentials and people talk about graduation, certification, there's all sorts of confusion about credentials in the marketplace. We really pay attention to the ICF credentials, and the core competencies give a vehicle for anybody who is going through any coach training program to apply the competencies to your skill set. So just want to do a sound check, make sure I'm clear. Is there any, I can hear background noise a little. I just want to check if I'm clear enough.
You are for me, Carly. This is Karen.
Okay. Robin, is everything clear?
Yes, coming in absolutely clear. I'm sorry, so I'll just keep an eye out and watch the attendees as well. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So if at any time you have a question, put it in the chat box, and we'd love to hear from you. So this is not just me talking or Karen talking. We do really want to hear from you. So this is what we really want to leave you with, is a deeper understanding of which are the true core competencies and why. There are a number of competencies, there are 11, but we feel that there are some that are more important than others. An understanding of how, as an ICF assessor, I and Karen is also an assessor and training in the PCC markers that are going to be coming out soon and that are released in the marketplace. The ICF released the new PCC markers for everybody back in June. And so how do we approach listening to the core competencies? Knowing where to focus in order to significantly improve your coaching skills. There are ways to really, I think, be the best coach you can be for your clients to get the best results if you know which competencies to focus on, which are really the coaching skills. And how to powerfully increase your coaching mastery. I'm going to give you one simple distinction between ACC, PCC and MCC coaching that will hopefully, again, give you more confidence to know how to improve your coaching. So Robin, I just want to check that everybody has the handout as well.
Carly, what I would recommend is that if someone doesn't have the handout, if they would just put it in the chat box, I will send it to them separately. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. So you can use that handout, and to be honest, because this is my mistake, because I have no access to my screen right now, I didn't print out a copy of that. I can remember what it said, seeing I wrote it, but if there's something that I miss, Karen, maybe you can bring it up and we can talk about it, because I can't see that. All right, so we've done our introductions. I'm going to give you probably about a 15-minute overview of the target approach, some of the key competencies, and then I want to do a short coaching demonstration. It might only be about 15 minutes, and really to demonstrate more the beginning. It might not get through a whole coaching session, but just some of the core competencies that we're talking about. So if you could be thinking about whether this feels like a right for you to step up and be coached, something specific that you would like to talk about for a short period of time and get some clarity on would be great. And then we will debrief, Karen and I will debrief that coaching demonstration. Me coaching, I like someone else to debrief and to lead that. It's always hard when you're being present, and maybe this is a little key to the core competencies, but if I'm fully present to the client, then I'm not also thinking of how I might debrief this. So they're two different skill sets. And then that distinction I want to give you, and then we'll hand it back to Robin to wrap up. So this screen now you see is how the core competencies are presented. There's 11 core competencies, and they are presented in that order. And there are also, in total, I believe, 70 subpoints. And the subpoints are really, really rich in learning in most cases, in most of the competencies. And the ICF has also supplemented the competencies with a document that is available publicly on the ICF website called Core Competency Rating Levels, which gives distinctions between ACC, PCC and MCC. So you've got all of this information about the core competencies, and this is how they're presented. But that's not how they happen in real life. My experience is sometimes when I'm listening to coaching, assessing coaching, is that you can hear the coach going, check, oh, I've done the coaching agreement, check, I have taken, you know, ask the client how they are, check, and it's like, no, 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 that's not how it works. That's mechanical. So this is the mechanics. Now we want to give you how rich the actual dynamic, I guess it's the dance, is with these competencies. So I want to give you my understanding from the years I've been involved in assessing and coaching and teaching and training. And of the 11 core competencies, I believe there are 5 that are really in the target of what I call the target approach. There are 2 application competencies and there are 4 output. So I'm not going to be obviously in this short time covering all of them, but I'm going to give you the target. And I'm going to give you each of the categories and you'll be able to see those. So that's for your handout to write in as well. So the one number one competency to really master is coaching presence, which is what coaching presence is number five, I believe, the core competency, or four? Four, core competency four. And that's about being present. When we're present, so I can hear some noise right now. Okay. When we're present, see, I was present to the noise just in that moment. Now it's gone. So paying attention to what's happening in the moment, there's a great example. It's like you don't step over what's just happened. It's like, oh, there's some noise. Okay. Pay attention to it. Now we move back. So being present is present to what's happening inside of you. What's the reaction or emotion or feeling or thought or sensing that you're having? And it's also what's happening over there with your client, or what are you noticing, hearing, observing if you're in person, sensing if you're on the phone. So coaching presence is by far the most important competency, especially as you go toward higher PCC into MCC mastery levels. You need to be paying attention to your client, and being present is the way that you do that to the whole person of the client. And ethics is down there as another one of the core competencies to pay attention to, because if you don't know what a coaching process is versus a teaching, consulting, educating, therapy, if you aren't able to distinguish what coaching is, then it's hard to be present to in a coaching process. So where are we starting? Where do we want to go? And what's the gap? And how does the client want to close that gap? That's the basic coaching model. So you need to understand when you move outside of that into something else, or when it's appropriate to refer a client to some other professional than yourself. So I don't like to talk for too long. Karen, do you have anything that you would like to add about coaching presence?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I would add, Carly, is also that coaching presence, first of all, beautiful demonstration of how to be present to the noise. And the noise was me, by the way. I moved. So, and my thing got tangled here. So that was a great demonstration. But yeah, it's really about, to me, about being really, really observant and paying attention to what's going on inside of you and your client. In other words, paying attention to what's present and not where you think you need to go or where you think the client needs to go. So it's really honing down and being really, really in the moment and in the now.
Mm. Yes, nice. Thank you. So again, if you have any questions as we go, you're welcome to ask, but otherwise I'm just going to continue on with the next piece of the target approach, which is your presence informs your listening. So here we have competency number five, and how you listen informs your questions and your direct communication. Direct communication is one of those, I think, misunderstood, or maybe it's not clear enough in a lot of cases what it means. So I'm actually going to open it up for people to, I'd love to hear from you. What's your understanding of the competency of direct communication? Oh, we have a lot of noise there.
I'm going to unmute.
Maybe we need to have people, maybe you need to mute them again, and we need to have people actually say in the chat they want to speak or something. Wow.
Or they could raise their hand. You could raise your hands. I'll mute everyone and raise your hand, and I'll unclick for you.
Right.
Okay? Thanks. And go back and mute. There. Okay, so I'm looking for raised hands. And right now I don't see any raised hands, Carly, so if you want to move on, I can get your attention, or Karen's. Oops. Carly and Karen, I'm sorry, it muted you too. I don't see any raised hands at the moment, so if you want to continue, I will make a point of letting you know in just a few moments.
Right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So direct communication is the ability to be direct, succinct, and use the client's language to make observations, give reflections, ask questions. So many times we may add extra information to a question. So we might say, so what do you, what would you like to do with that? And by the way, when you think about that, you know, I noticed you said this, this, and this. And so there's a lot of extra information, and the client isn't, the coach isn't trusting their initial question. That is an example of lacking in direct communication. You've actually complicated what the client has got to respond to because you've now added more information. So that's one part, is the way, the succinctness and the clarity and the focus on the client's language and concepts and words and being curious and using those. And the other part, which is often missed, is, and it's one of the sub-points, is the use of client language to get out of linear coaching in the form of metaphor and analogy. And the sub-point E under direct communication says, uses metaphor and analogy to help to illustrate a point or paint a verbal picture. Without doubt, one of the most powerful things is to listen for client language and then be able to put that into your questions and create the opportunity for the client to go deeper into their own world of language and also to expand their ability to think differently and get outside the box. Funnily enough, visuals and metaphors are actually a form of more direct communication than continuing to talk. So maybe it's a good idea to talk about, give an example of a potential metaphor. So, Karen, do you have an example that you would like to share of a piece of client language that could easily be turned into a visual or metaphor?
Let me think.
Does anyone have one to share? I've got one to share. I can share something, but I just thought I'd open it up to others as well. So put your hand up, raise your hand if you have something you've worked with your client, and it's become a great conversation the client got clarity about based on metaphor.
Carly, can you hear me?
So while we're waiting, I'll give you an example.
Carly?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Arlen Anderson is on the line, and Arlen Anderson has an example. So I'm going to open Arlen's line, and you two can speak. Go ahead.
Excellent.
Go ahead, Arlen.
Great last name.
Oh, thank you. This is Arlen. Often a client will talk about being frustrated or explaining some kind of emotional experience that they're having, and a common one that I hear is, that they hit a wall, or that they're banging their head against the wall, or something like that. So I like to explore the wall.
That's a great one. And what are some of the questions that you might create using that language?
Tell me about the wall. What kind of wall is it?
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't keep leading them, but, sometimes with a newer client, I might have to say, is it a brick wall? Is it see-through? What's it look like to you? How tall is it? How small is it?
Right. That's a great example. Yeah, if the wall wasn't there, what would be happening? If you were to look back on the other side of the wall, what would you see? What other ways could you view this wall in terms of how you're viewing your current situation? If you were to change the viscosity or the texture of this wall, what might you want to change it to? So yes, you can be very creative, and these are more powerful questions than just asking, so what's your strength, or what do you want to do now? Or it's just a fabulous way to enter client language and client world and to go deeper into some of the other competencies that come up. So thank you, Island. That's a wonderful example.
Yeah.
So let me move on and just quickly give you the others. So that's you've just seen the five in the target approach. If you really master, I'm just going to go back, if you master these, if you really focus on presence, knowing what a coaching process is, really listening deeply for client language to inform your questions, and be clear and direct in your communication and listen for client language that could become metaphor, I guarantee you, you'll be on a path to increasing your core coaching skills quickly. It's very, very, and I believe improving the client's ability to get the result they want and a better result. So I mentioned there were a couple of other competency categories, and I consider two of the competencies to be application competencies. Establishing the coaching agreement is an application, and planning and goal setting, creating a coaching plan or a development plan with your client, they're both applications. You have to, the structural, in other words. So we know that establishing the coaching agreement is an incredibly important part, but if you know the target, if you do all of those coaching skills well, you'll be asking questions from a place of being present. You will be using the client language to discover and explore what they want to have by the end of the session. So coaching agreement is also the critical application competency outside of the target approach. It's the one that you need to be mastering in the context of being present to the client and asking questions using client language. So we'll demonstrate that when I do the coaching with somebody shortly. Next one, I just want to give you the last four of the competencies are what I call output competencies. They are an output of everything else you do. Establishing trust and intimacy is not something you can just do. You actually have to ask questions, listen, be present. Creating awareness is an outcome of all of that. And an outcome of all of that is actions. And out of actions comes following up and asking clients any questions that would help them to solidify what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, when they're going to do it, what support they might need, what resources they might want to draw on, what barriers they might need to be aware of that could get in the road of them taking their actions. That's all part of the progress and accountability. So that overall that gives you what the target approach is. So the ones we're going to focus on most, and I really highly recommend, is the target five and then establishing the coaching agreement. So I want to pause there. Karen, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes. So I think in the few years that Carly and I have been working together and, you know, taking coaches through our mentor coaching program, I would say that that the biggest challenge or growth opportunity has been around the coaching agreement. And we know as assessors that if the coaching agreement is not solid, it really impacts how an assessor will listen and score your coaching. So it's vitally important that you really, really understand the structure of the coaching agreement, and as Carly said, but use the target core competencies to inform creating that coaching agreement.
Yes, in fact, I think, you know, you've helped to really clarify. That's one of the key things as assessors we do listen for is the coach just in process mode? It's like, what do you want to focus on? What do you want to get by the end of our session? How will you know you've been successful? That's process, but if you haven't been present to the client and asked and acknowledged and been like incurious about what they mean by their language, you've just gone through process, that has minimal impact for the client to get clarity about the depth and richness of the coaching agreement that's available to them. All right, so do we have any questions about the target approach before we go into a little demonstration of coaching, hopefully? Somebody's out there. So anyone have their hand up, Robin, that has a question about the target approach?
Okay, I'm looking. I did have another metaphor, but I'm going to check and see for hands up right now for you.
Oh, and then please share.
Oh, and one of the metaphors I will share while I'm looking was tightly wound. I feel tightly wound was Jennifer Buckland's metaphor that she shared on the call, just to keep everybody in the loop.
Mm.
And right now I don't see anybody's hands up, but I'm looking too in the question section. And I don't see one coming up yet.
Okay, no problem. I wanted to talk about tightly wound is, again, such a wonderful, see, it can be that simple. Like the client says, you know, I feel tightly wound right now. And we can step over that and just get be in our head about what we think we need to ask about, which actually isn't being present to the client. Not that we can pick up on everything the client says, but I invite all the coaches listening to this or present on this call to come up with at least 10 questions that you could ask that got outside, really creative questions using tightly wound in it, or that concept.
Mm-hmm.
So this could also bring in playfulness and coaching presence. One of the things that often helps clients move is actually a little lightness. When we get heavy as coaches, we can actually keep the client stuck. So, I mean, I can think of saying, so what are you tightly wound around? Just, you know, being playful with it. You know, that's such an incredible sort of visual you've just given. What does that mean to you? And you can ask them, would you like to explore that further? You know, if you weren't tightly wound, what would be happening? There's all sorts of wonderful questions that can be created from that can take the client to a different perspective, and that's really what's important sometimes, is the client will gain awareness when they can enter their world of language. You ask great questions that help them go deeper into their thoughts and feelings and beliefs, and then they get the clarity, and usually the actions come from there.
Carly, thank you. Another one we have is John Owens, who has shared the metaphor of the coaching journey.
Hmm. I'm curious to know about that, and at the same time I'm aware that we need to see if anyone wants to be coached. Okay. So I'm wondering, we'll pause that one, see if we can come back to that, because
okay,
I'm interested to know about that as a metaphor. But is there anyone who would be happy to be coached for 10, 15 minutes on something specific?
Oh, Jennifer Buckland has raised her hand. Jennifer, I'm going to unmute you. Jennifer, would you be willing to be coached by Carly?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I wasn't wanting to. I felt that I'd given my input already. So if nobody else is wanting it, I'd love to be coached.
All right, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Lovely. Well, I'm happy for you. Thank you for stepping up. And so I'm just going to dive straight in. Ooh. I'm going to just sort of ask you whether there's anything you feel that you need, you know, before we start.
No, I think I'm good. Thanks, Connie.
Okay. So why don't you give me a little about your situation that you would like to talk about?
Well, I think, you know, what came up for me is that I feel a little surreal today. A close friend of mine has gone into hospice, and it's just really brought me into sort of a place of there's a conflict going on around me being alive and life as usual, and, you know, what she's currently experiencing, and just there's grief.
Hmm, that's totally understandable. I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
Thank you.
So I can imagine it's taking you to a different place. I sense right now that there's a lot of emotion for you.
Yes, and I think at the same time, though, there's this sort of wonder, too, about life. And, you know, that surprised me, actually, just the sort of the heightened space that I'm inhabiting. Just I'm noticing everything sensorily around me right now, and I know that that's part of the gift of life and its fragility as well. So there's that in the mix too.
What a wonderful perspective to be able to take. So yeah. I'm wondering what would be useful for you for us to talk about and accomplish in a short period of time?
You know, I think this is something around, I'd love to get to a more comfortable place. I feel so many contrasting feelings and thoughts are sort of jumbling in my head right now. And I'm looking for calm.
Yeah, I can hear. I really appreciate the vulnerability that you've brought and the truth that is present for you in this moment.
Thank you.
So in terms of looking for calm, what typically does that look or feel like for you, that you know you're feeling calm?
You know, the first thing that came into my head is just calm water. There's something about water for me. That's always the visual I go to.
And how could you use that visual to know that you've reached some place of calm by the end of our short coaching session? Or is there something else?
Well, you know, as you're saying it, and I'm not sure whether it's the targeted approach that I was looking at, but I sort of see this whirlpool going on right now in my calm pond. There's a kind of a vortex in the middle. Yeah, so my calm pond is not calm right now.
No, that does not. That does not. I can sense that. The whirlpool is definitely not a calm pond.
No.
So what? I'm actually wondering whether you, is it that you want to go from a whirlpool to a calm pond, or is it something else?
Well, I'm actually, there's something curious about that whirlpool and, you know, where that's taking me, because there's I think my curiosity is actually there. It's almost as if I want to look into the whirlpool. You know, I kind of want to enter that vortex in a way today.
Okay.
So perhaps I'm not after calm.
Great. That's a nice piece of clarity.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So we're going to dive into the whirlpool.
Yay.
All right. Well, how would you like to do that?
Well, I immediately wanted to hold my nose and take a deep breath. Yeah.
Well, why not?
Yeah. Well, there is that sort of sense of, yes, this is a space to explore and I really want to go deep.
What was that?
Yeah, I kind of want to do it with you, though. I don't want to jump into that whirlpool on my own.
Okay. Yeah. I'm happy to go there with you.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. So how would you like me to jump in with you?
I think it's that kind of ready, set, jump.
Okay. So. Are we holding hands?
Yeah, why not? And also oh, hold my nose.
Okay. Do you want to say it?
Yes, okay. Ready, steady, jump.
All right. So what's happening?
Wow, there's a little bit of a void into nothingness. I'm just not seeing anything except sort of a pale blue.
What might that represent to you?
And the first word that came into my head was, you know, not knowing, or the words, not knowing. Not knowing the space at all. It's actually quite peaceful. And then there's something around tears as well.
So there's both peace and tears.
Mm.
There's void and there's something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got a real tightness in my throat.
What would you like to do with that tightness?
It kind of represents my friend. Just the beautiful soul she is. Yeah. I'm wanting to hold on.
Okay, you're absolutely able to. That's your choice. That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm holding my throat now.
What else do you want to do with that?
You know, there's just something about holding it close. Yeah, there's so much in there. I think I was just thinking that sort of peace space I want for her, but I don't feel that the peace is for me.
I want to ask you a question that may or not work for you, so you tell me if it doesn't work for you.
Yeah, thanks.
If you could imagine yourself just in that whirlpool, but now that somehow you can actually, with your throat feeling as it is, sensing all that you're sensing, if you can somehow just take yourself to a future point, somewhere either future or outside of that whirlpool, and you're able to look down or look back at this feeling, this sense of tightness in your throat, thinking about your friend, what's the perspective that might be available to you?
Well, you know, I think part of it is that there's something around that sort of journey of life and just the journey of connection and friendship too. Kind of seeing almost the circles of the whirlpool as being parts of our, you know, where we've connected and where that's taken us, and the kind of the preciousness of it. So, and yet the pain with that, the pain of having to let go.
Yeah, what I appreciate about you sharing is the depth of clarity you have about the multiple layers that are present for you right now, and that there is really no right answer to this situation.
No. Thank you. That actually helps me feel that my jumble's okay.
Yeah. What if your jumble was okay? What would that mean to you?
Well, that's a common theme in my life. Living with mess. It is freeing. It's I think it's also what motivates me to keep sort of getting out there and dealing and facing complex. Because in a sense there's just such there's so much learning in that space, which is a huge value for me.
Mm.
Mm.
So So how wonderful that you've realized the parallel to living with mess in your whole life as a theme.
Yes.
and the value of learning. So I'm wondering what connections you've just made around, yeah, that might serve you.
Well, I think there's definitely something about embracing the mess and embracing the whirlpool because it leads to that deeper, I suppose, experience and understanding because of it. but there's so many kind of paradoxes in life. I mean, there's something very philosophical about this space, and I'm getting too ridiculous with all my words right now. But there is something there for me to ponder, I think, more.
What was that laugh?
I was noticing that I got into thoughts, and actually I think the place that I want to really be is with my feelings right now.
Okay, that's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would stop you from just being present with your feelings?
Well, actually, I've been, you know, working and trying to not be with those feelings all day. And actually, I think maybe this is a good time to say, well, I'll commit to allowing those time for being with them.
Mm.
Because actually, I think that's really what I want today. Mm.
Beautiful. Mm. Yeah. So, what else would serve you and support you before we start to wrap up?
You know, I feel really supported, thank you. Serving, you know, there's just something here where I think an agenda actually wouldn't help, apart from just saying I'm going to take some time to, you know, just be in connection with my friend, even though I can't see her.
Mm. Yeah. But you're definitely connected to her. I just feel your presence with her.
Yeah.
So when you think back to the calmness versus the whirlpool, what did you accomplish?
Well, actually, I am feeling extremely calm right now. I feel that there's, and I think the calmness was around the connection for me. And just being with that connection is a space that just feels right. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What a gift. Thank you so much for sharing. You are just so the perfect person to have stepped up and to share the humanity of you and to allow us to experience you and your depth of feeling and obviously love for your friend. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Carleen. That was really great. Thanks.
Mm. So I'm going to switch gears. We're going to do a short debrief. So, Karen, I'm going to ask you to lead that, if that's okay.
Sure. Absolutely. So, I'm curious to know what any of the participants, what struck you particular around, since we were talking about coaching presence, around Carly's coaching presence? And Robin, I think you may have to moderate because I can't see raised hands.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. Let me just double check here. I'm watching the chat box and the hands. Is there anyone who would like to jump in here and I can unmute your line? And I'm, here we go. The question, it's from Elizabeth Craig. And I will open Elizabeth's line with the question Carly mentioned. The questions Carly mentioned were phenomenal, and her presence showed complete focus and learning. Elizabeth, would you like to say anything else about that?
Sure thing. In fact, Carly, thank you so much. It was really wonderful. And you could just feel entirely through it the words that you would use. You were repeating the ones that she had mentioned, the calm and the tightness, and then asked the question in an open way about those that you were saying, you know, what connections have you made to that? I have pages. I was writing as quickly as I could everything that both of you were saying. And then even picking up on her laugh, because the laugh did feel a little bit not like it was really with the rest of the sequence of things. And then you even picked up on that. So what was the laugh about? So thank you. Very well done.
Thank you, Elizabeth. The next one is from John. And so, John, I will open your line and allow you to talk about that. Just a moment, I'm finding your line. There you are. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Okay. I think that really for coaching to take someone somewhere, we really have to, as coaches, start exactly where the client is. And there's a phenomenal job in doing that, just being with the client, totally accepting her from where she is, in comfort, and the presence of coaching really establishes, I think, that trust and intimacy that can move it forward, particularly in a very personal and intimate and emotional type of coaching that happened in this demonstration.
Mm-hmm. So this is Karen. I loved that you picked up on the trust and intimacy, because it wasn't that Carly was focusing on trying to establish that. It happened naturally through her presence, her listening, her questions, and being truly there for the client. Mm-hmm. So trust and intimacy is not something that we do to the client. It's the result of how we're being with the client. So thank you for picking that up.
Mm, thanks, John. And thanks, Elizabeth, as well.
Mm.
Any other questions? I'm aware we're coming close to our time, and I want to give you this distinction here as well.
Do we have any other questions, Robin?
I'm checking it out. And I don't see a question coming up, but anyone can raise. Oh, hang on just a moment. I have one from Kathy Lester. So I'm going to open Kathy's line next. One moment. Oops, trying. Kathy, if you're calling in by phone, you may have to manually unmute your phone. I'm not able to do it on this end. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Building on what Karen was just saying on the listening and how you're being, I thought the point where she said, you know, jumping into the whirlpool and I want you to go with me, I just thought, that was remarkable to go with the flow. I found myself responding. My self-talk was, there was some fear there of, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm not coaching. You know, I don't want to go there. So I think just the remarkable nature of being able to be there in the moment and to go with the flow. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, and this is Carly. It was so fun for Jennifer to ask that, because, you see, I'm not in her experience right now, so I can be there purely present as the girl. I felt I was like the girlfriend holding the hand, jumping into the whirlpool together. So I was able to be there as a present human being without all of the stuff that was obviously happening for Jennifer. So it was like, if you want to go there, I'll go there with you. And I think, was it John who said, we need to be present to where the client is and start from there. And the client will shift much quicker than if we try to take them somewhere. And it was just a beautiful experience for me. I feel enriched by having had that experience with Jennifer.
Wonderful. Thank you. Also, Carly, I would add that I was reminded, I loved your tempo, the pace of the conversation, and it just reminded me as a coach too how important it is to really slow down, to be, to create not only the presence and the trust and intimacy, but just to have time to really come up with the powerful questions from scratch rather than having a script of questions you might want to ask and responding to the client where they are.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. Space and silence and is part of presence, and allowing, see, we often jump into that silence when the client is still processing and we jump in. And also, if I find it very liberating to know I don't have to have a set of standard questions. If I'm really listening to client language, I'm going to be asking questions that I create from my client's language. It's very actually liberating.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Thank you. Carly and Karen, we're coming to the part where I need to wrap up and share the word, but I know there was something you might have wanted to share with the group.
Yes, and thank you, Karen, for that debrief as well. So I want to give this distinction, which is the who versus the what. And I mentioned earlier the ACC, PCC, MCC. So at ACC, focus more on the situation and what, the problem solving, and listening for what I can contribute, what I can do to help the client solve the situation. When we move to PCC level, we're starting to bring in the who. And we're understanding the beliefs, the thoughts, the feelings of the client while still paying attention a lot to their situation, their what. We move into master levels of coaching, and I'm hoping you got that experience with me today. You focus fully on the who of the client because you know that their what will come from their awareness and the actions. I had attention on her agreement throughout. I came back to it at the end. It was a who-based agreement, but it had a lot of what implications. Living with a messy life, you know, living with mess. There's a lot of other actions that are going to come out of that potentially, and if we were continuing coaching, it would bring out more of the what actions, but I focus completely on the who of the client. So the more that you don't have to wait until you get as many hours of coaching as Karen and I have, but you can start really focusing more on the who than the what of your client, and that will increase your coaching competence, and I think you get better, your clients get better results. And this is what I always think it's nice to offer you guys something, seeing you've shown up here, so this is in your handout as well. If you want to get the target approach, the full version, the 40-minute audio-visual, if you want a session with me, or if you want to get the Establishing the Coaching Agreement product bundle, I've created a very extensive product of that with recordings of coaching sessions of me so that you can listen to the coaching agreement and get comparisons against my competency worksheet as well, so you understand a little more about, a lot more about the coaching agreement. So in closing, I just want to say thank you on behalf of Karen and I, and we really do believe that it's important for us as coaches to continue our own development, so thank you for all of you for being here and for being part of this. And Karen, is there anything you just want to say?
I just want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for your questions, for your comments. It was a really delight to support you today. Thank you.
Carly and Karen, thank you so much for taking the time to be here today with us and sharing the target approach and the wonderful coaching demonstration. It was just phenomenal. What I'd like to do is have others share a takeaway, and I know that we're getting to the top of the hour, so I'm going to share the word first. The closing word is competencies, and if you wish to receive a CCEU, what you need to do is submit an email to profdev@icfminnesota.org if you wish to receive that CCEU for attending the event today, and I'll forward it on to you. In the meantime, if there is someone who would like to share a takeaway, who would like to add in just a moment, please raise your hand. I'll be glad to open up your line to share. And thank you again so much. With that, I'll stop because I know every minute counts. So is there anyone who would like to share a takeaway with Carly and Karen, or you can chat it in the chat box? or put it in the question box too, and I'll be happy to relay it to them. Anybody? All right. I don't see anything right now, Carly and Karen, but I thank you so much for being here, and I know our group has really enjoyed hearing from you today. Oh, I get something now. Jennifer Buckland says, love that Carly mentioned play and demonstrating this in her coaching with me, even in emotional topics. And Jennifer, is there anything else you want to add?
That was just a real learning for me. Thank you, because I think play is just a hook that is a remarkable space to go.
Excellent. All right. With that, thank you so much, Jennifer, too, for stepping up and being willing to be coached today. So it really made this presentation very rich, and we appreciate your doing so. With that, I will end our ICF Minnesota workshop. Thank you again, everyone, for joining us today and interacting. It was a really wonderful presentation, and we look forward to seeing you at our next meeting. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.